Okay, tell your neighbor, today we are talking about sex. See his reaction. I don't know why we're interested in sex, but we don't like to talk about it. We like just think about it, only me and myself. Praise God. We're all interested about sex. That's why I said in the first service, one of the businesses that will never close is business that has to do with sex. Prostitution will never close down. No matter how much there's recession, prostitution will never close. Pornography will never close. They will remain thriving businesses. Why? Because sex is a natural need. Any business that is linked to a natural need of a human being will never close. No matter how much there is hunger, food will still sell. No matter the level of recession. Same thing with sex and other things that are natural, basic needs of a human being. Praise God. So please get the tapes or the CDs for the first service. Today, this second service is a continuation. I won't be able to recap everything I said, but it's very powerful to get them because they will bless you. Quickly, let me also say this. This message is not a message of condemnation, because usually when things like sex is taught in church, when they tell you cannot have sex anyhow and all those things, it now looks like a condemnation message. Please, you must understand, God never, and I use the word never in capital letters, God never condemns. Anytime you are feeling condemnation in your heart, that is not God. That can be you feeling bad, yes, but that is not God condemning you. Praise God. People can condemn you. Satan will condemn you. But God never condemns. And I said I use the word never in capital letters. God never condemns. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery? How many remember the story? The Bible says she was caught in the act. And they brought to a woman. And they asked Joshua, what will you do? Joshua told them, he that was at the first sin should cast the first stone. All of them ran away. And the statements Jesus Christ made to the woman was very prophetic. You see, when you read the Bible and the works of Jesus Christ, that is the nature of God. He told us all through that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. This is how we think, that I don't do anything of my own. Everything I hear, I do. We're together, we're in sync. He said, I and the Father, we are what? One. Do you remember that? So when you see the life of Jesus Christ, you can get the mindset of the Father. That's why, that's the whole idea of sending Jesus Christ, come and live here. So that, because some people can, but we're thinking God is too far. So they sent Jesus in the form of a man to live like us, to show us how to live and to show us how God thinks. Do we get that? So Jesus Christ told the woman, where are your accusers? And said, they've gone. And Jesus Christ said, neither do I what? Condemn you. Very powerful. He said, go and sin no more. But he said, I am not in the business of condemning people. And remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. God doesn't condemn. God is not punishing you for your sins. There will be a day of judgment. Oh, there will be a day of judgment, my brother. There will be a day when those that didn't serve God or worship God will be brought into account. That will be a day of judgment. But as for now, God's Facebook status or profile is on God is love. Praise God. God is love. He has no other reaction. Now, I mean, this is important for you to get. God has no other reaction. Say, Pastor, when I kill somebody, what happened? God is love. I love you, my son. Say, Pastor, I impregnate three girls at the same time. What does God think? God loves you. I love you, God. That's what God says. God is love. I've not prayed for 2 years. What does God think? I love you. Doesn't have any other reaction. Somebody said, Pastor, how do you know? Look at, Jesus Christ gave us the story of the prodigal son. That was the story of us humans and our father. He said when the guy went to suffer, by the time the guy was coming back, the father was looking for him. And by the time the guy was coming back, the father ran to him. God is always looking out for you. He's always trying to reach out to you. He doesn't have another reaction. And when the boy came, the boy said, I'm no more worthy. Oh, you don't know God, I'm telling you. If you are sitting here and use those kind of statements, then you say, I'm not worthy. You don't understand the investment God has made on you. That's why he doesn't like you talk like that. His son has died for you. You can't be talking to kind of nonsense. I'm not worthy. Say, shut up. Oh. If you know anything, I've invested for this thing. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. He said, make me as one of your higher servants. The guy, father told him, shut up. The Bible said they gave him the robe, gave him the ring, then killed the fattest calf. This is a guy that committed sin. Now, you see, the brother is how most Christians in church think. The brother was outside. He said, how can God be blessing this boy? I know he sleeps with a girl. I know her, pastor. I know about it. I saw them. And God is still blessing him. Because that's God's only reaction. God doesn't have a negative reaction for now until the day of judgment. Somebody say, oh, pastor. So does that mean we can be sinning up and down? There's nothing you can do that can make God angry with you now or make him punish you now. No. You are his son, you are his child, and that's all that matters. And he wants you to walk with him no matter what. Now, let me explain why he doesn't condemn. Now, the Spirit of God will convict you. There's a difference. Conviction is when you start sensing in your heart this sin is wrong. There's a conviction to stop this sin. There's a conviction to change. The Spirit of God convicts. But the Spirit of God never condemns. Now, let me tell you the reason why God never condemns. Because somebody think, oh, this, because if God doesn't condemn me, you can be sitting up and down. Okay, just fuck on service, man. Just take half blunt. Some people don't have blunt. Thank God, don't know it. It's not good to know. See, if I come service, you know, just take some pipe, you know, just, you know, if I come service. See, since God doesn't condemn, let me explain why God doesn't condemn to you. Anyone that condemns you or that you have the feeling that I've offended this person too much, you naturally tend to separate from that person. When you have offended someone, going to see the person, you look forward to it. No, I need to get this. If let's say Pastor Harrison gave me his car, and I bashed the car, he told me to bring it back by 2 o'clock, and I used it overnight, and now bashed it in the night. And I now went to club with his car. I know he's a pastor. I know he doesn't want me to go to club. And I won't use his car to go to club. And I bashed it. Where's the last place on the earth I want to go that morning? His house. So the devil uses condemnation to tell Christians you have sinned too much. This thing you did, God, yeah, you know you're a pastor. You know you're a deacon. You know you're a worker. This thing you did is too bad, oh. And you will keep feeling alienated from God. You keep feeling, I can't go to God. I can't go to God. And where God is saying, come to me. Say, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help you in time of need. Condemnation never brings grace. So that's why God says, if you sin 100 times, come 100 times. He doesn't want you to ever get the inclination that he can get tired of forgiving you. Mm-mm. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. That means the love I have for you, nothing can change it. Are you getting this? So, God hates sin. Don't get me wrong. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And he wants that door to be continually open. You see, Peter asks a very powerful question. He said, how many times should we forgive someone? Because it's very important. Because if it's 10 times, I'll just wait for the 10 times. After that, nah, I'll deal with you. Because that's the human nature. The human nature believes forgiveness should have a time. So that, not that you don't be offending me anyhow. I need to know how many times. So that if once you, I deal with them. I'm preparing the cane, you know. And because we think like that, we think also that God thinks like that. So you think, a moment you think God is always for 60, this 100 times. If you do it, if they bore you where? Sleep with that guy again. And on top, they are going to kill off now. So some people have that mentality about God. So Peter asked Jesus Christ, how many times should we forgive? Because I'm going to kill John now. Because John was, I'm sure John or James, someone were offending him. So he said, just tell me how many times I'm going to forgive this guy because I'm about to kill him now. With the fishing hook, I'll just hook him. Or with the net, just tie him up. And Jesus Christ told him 70 times, 70 times. Well, you don't even have to bother to calculate it. What he was just saying was that you have to forgive continuously because that's how God also forgives. God doesn't have a time span. There's no amount of time you will hit in doing something wrong that God will stop forgiving you. No, The only day there will be judgment is the final day. Anything from now till then, God needs you to know that that door is open. If you've sin 1,000 times, come back to him 1,000 times. Praise God. Okay. That's not even today's message. So I wish if I had time, I would have read more scriptures and all that. Because I put a belief, oh, I've done something wrong. God is punishing me. This sickness I have, you know, it's God that gave me this headache. This cancer, pastor, is God. I knew God would judge me. No, no. You see, God can't give you cancer. He doesn't have cancer. I explained in the first service, Mr. Debo has triplets, so he's the best person that can give us one. He has triplets. I'm sure he can donate one. He donates one of the, maybe Korede. Okay, Korede is the only boy. Oh yeah, let's take Angie. Or Jade. So he takes imagine Mr. Debo now, takes one of his child. Kanayo, Minister Kanayo is sick and about to die. And they say we must sacrifice one child for Kanayo to live. So Kanayo is sick or die, you know. So we'll not take one of Mr. Debo's children, sacrifice the child. Mr. Debo and his wife, they feel very sad. It's very painful, but they want Kanayo to live. So they sacrifice their child. Kanayo now gets healed of the sickness and becomes well. Then tomorrow, Kanayo now mistakenly offends Mr. Debo. Watch, oh. He now gets sick. Then he's now saying that it's Mr. Debo that gave him sickness again. After Mr. Debo has killed his child for him. He can't give, because the moment he gives you sickness again, he has made the death of his child of no consequence. It's totally useless, in fact. So that's how it sounds to God. When you're telling God that, God, because I committed sin, you will give me sickness again. You know what I'm saying? God has killed his son for you not to be sick. He said, by his stripes, you are healed. He can't put sickness back on you. That will be wasting the death of Jesus. And don't forget that Jesus is there with him. So he said, bros, you give the guy sickness again? After I die for this guy, you better not give him sickness. The guy better be healed. He better be well. So that my death will have significance. So Jesus, God is not giving you sickness. Somebody say, oh, I'm committing sin. God won't hear my prayers again. No. God is love. Now, your sin will have consequences. Don't miss that. Your sin will have consequences. If, for instance, even cigarette people that say cigarette, they tell you that cigarette smokers are liable to do what? Die young. So sin, that's not what sin does. Sin destroys you. It's not God killing you. It's sin. Sin kills. That's why God hates what? Sin. He loves the what? Sinner. For God so loved who? The world. God loves the sinner. He loves the sinner so much that he gave his son for the sinner. Jesus said, I didn't come for those that are well. I came for those that are sick. I came for the sinners. But God hates sin. Why does God hate sin? Because sin destroys you and God loves you. Anything that destroys somebody you love, you tend to hate what? The thing. Am I correct? So stop running away from God. No matter what you do, God is never tired of forgiving you. Never. Never, never, never. You can never out-sin the grace of God. You can never out-sin the blood of Jesus. Jesus has dealt with sin forever. Your sins of the past, your sins of the present, and your sins of the future. As long as you're ready to tap into the forgiveness. As long as you're, as Hebrews says, you're ready to come boldly. Hallelujah. Come boldly. So God can never get tired of you. Say his mercies are what? New when? Every morning. When they say it's new, they're not talking about that. You know, there's some things that are new, but you still remember the past. Mm-mm. When is new? Eh? Yesterday's sin. Eh? It doesn't. You don't understand. As in, if you go and tell God that, you know, God, what I did last year, you know, God is saying, excuse me, when last year? I have no record. Say, God, you know now, you know that time, I even told God, say, I'm not aware of it. Because the Bible says he has thrown our iniquities in the sea of forgetfulness. You know, if God says he has forgotten something, you know, God is not like us, you know, human people might say, I don't forget him. What human being means is that, you know, for now, if you mess up again, man, I show you my true color. But if God is saying, I've forgotten something, what he means is that he cannot remember it. Not that he let it go. If a human being says, I forget, it means that he has let it go. You understand? For now. But if it's God, say, I can't remember something, he actually means that he cannot It's not a statement to encourage you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The words of God is what created this physical earth. So God's words don't fall to the ground, they don't waste. So if God said today is a good Tuesday night, everywhere we turn dark, and today will become Tuesday. So that's how God's words are. They're not something, it doesn't speak in parables. It's just as spoken in parables. God speaks direct. So if God says I've forgotten your iniquities, He's saying that there's no record of what you did yesterday. As in, the heaven doesn't have the record. But some Christians go every day and keep reminding God, remember that I did last week now? God, you remember, I ate my tithe that time. God, I told you about it. God said, I don't remember. I absolutely have no record of it. We've checked our files. We have no record of that. Why? Because the blood of Jesus, He says, speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Why? Because the blood of Abel was speaking vengeance. But the blood of Jesus is speaking mercy. So there's a constant plea of mercy over your life. Constantly. So God doesn't see you as Pastor Emeka. He doesn't see you as Mr. Shuko. God sees you as Christ. That's what they call us, the body of Christ. And the Bible says Christ was without sin. That's how God sees you. If He tries to judge you by your own actions, nobody. The Bible says if God counts iniquity, He said no one will stand. Nobody will make it. No one will make it. So this message is not about condemnation. You need to understand that. But it's about just trying to show you the dangers or the impact that sin can have in your life. Praise God. Even people that sell alcohol, they say drink what? Responsibly. They know that the alcohol can destroy you. Do you understand? So God doesn't hate the sinner. It's just the sin, because the sin can destroy you. That is what sin is. Sin doesn't affect God. If you smoke 100 cigarettes now, or take Indian hemp, or smoke dope, or whatever, it's not going to affect God. If you steal from your neighbor, it's not going to affect God. You can't steal God's money. But the only problem is that it will affect you, and God loves you jealously. He said, I'm a jealous God. I don't want anything to harm my child. Hallelujah. I don't want anything to harm my child. So that's the issue. That's why God hates sin. It's not because He just hates sin. We can't go. He's got no more enjoy. He just come. Say no TV, no internet, no pornography, no world. The potassium people they do, no club. Which can't go with this one? God doesn't have a problem with you grooving. As long as you are grooving in the right place and in the right way. God loves groove. Dancing is of God. It's God that started dancing. It's not the devil. God started music. It's not the devil. Devil doesn't create anything. Just copies and tries to use it wrongly. Praise God. So somebody doesn't think God is all wicked. No. He says you should not drink. No. There's a reason why He says you should not. One day I'll do what the Bible says about drinking. You know, some people believe the Bible doesn't say you should not drink. The Bible too doesn't say you should not smoke in their hand. And the Bible didn't say we should not take cocaine. So you that want to drink, I will give you cocaine after the service. You take one shot and see whether you will still be alive when you finish. There's a reason why God expects us to keep away from those kind of things. Anything that gives you that tries to duplicate. In fact, let me not teach that on that message. Let me not finish the message on what the Bible says about alcohol. Okay. So I'll continue in this service. Everybody's talking about sex. What are some of the things that they're not talking about sex? What number did I have in the first service? Number 4. So okay, let me do number 5 now. Number 5. Sexual immorality can destroy destiny. Sexual immorality can destroy destiny. Now, whether you're single or married, this will affect you. I'm sure you know that. So it's not for single people. Sexual immorality has the power to destroy destiny. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Sexual immorality can destroy destiny, whether you're single or married, please. Revelation chapter 2. I know your normal religious mind will keep believing, oh, God is punishing me for my sin. Pastor, I can't believe that thing I say. God is not punishing you. Condemnation will seek to separate you from God. It will tell you that you can't go again. You have begged for forgiveness 200 times now. Haven't you exhausted your forgiveness? Forgiveness schism. You can't exhaust it. His mercies are new every morning. Is that not beautiful? It's new every morning. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody said, but Pastor, that means we'll be sinning now anyhow. You see, that's the whole idea. You've not yet started growing in the things of the Spirit. When you start growing in things of God, you will now learn to start loving God. You will now want to please God. Hallelujah. You want to please God. You want to please God. Loving God is not a trap. You see, if God wanted to serve him by force, he could have done that. If God wanted to serve him by force, God can do it. All he needs to do is to just let the sun come nearer the earth. No one go to church, I mean. The only places that room will be hot is church. So you say, everybody said, oh boy, now wow, that's like too hot, oh boy. I just come to, I don't bring Bible, I just escape the sun. We don't bomb finish on that. Now I just might enter church. You will be in church. No. Ask the people in Egypt. All the things he did to them, turn their water to blood, release locust. He can do all those things, and the only place that will be free will be. The Bible said that time that there was a difference between where the children of Israel were and between where the Egyptians were. All those bad things didn't cross. So God, that's all God will do. So the locusts, they will just be stopping at the door. So if you're anywhere else in the world on Sunday morning, there'll be locusts chasing you. And when you run, you run in touch. So boy, now you see that? Locusts full everywhere. I say, now that's what I mean if I come. So my mom's there for church. Now I go sleep. Now I go die. I don't go anywhere again. You worship God. So God could have done that. But you see, what God wants, he wants you to love him with your whole heart. Because the things they force you to do, you never do it well. Anything they force you to do, you begin to resent to do that thing. Praise God. You begin to resent it. But the things you love to do, you look forward to it. And that's what God wants. He wants you to love him also the way he loved you, not by force. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. How many of you remember that it's God that even created us in the first place? So he could have created us like angels where we don't even have a choice. But he gave us free will so that we can choose to love him. That's what real love is. When you choose to love the person. Not that you're the first. Okay. Praise God. Religion is different from relationship. You need to understand that. Love, we have a love religious mindset. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Sin can destroy destiny. It will bring condemnation, it will bring damnation, it will bring destruction. Are you there? Jesus was speaking to the different churches. And this represents us today as believers also. It says, verse 14, it says, but I have a few things against thee. Okay, let me start from verse 13 or from verse 12. I think it's more, the story continues from verse 12. And to the angel of the church in what? Do what? Write these things, said he which had the sharp sword with two edges. Say, I know what thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name. He said, I know that there's a lot of temptation in that place you're staying. He said, and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Verse 14. He said, but I have a few things against you. Say, because thou has there them that do what? Hold what? The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to do what? Cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things what? Sacrificed unto idols, and to do what? And to commit fornication. Please take note. He said there are people there that have what they call the doctrine of what? Balaam or Balaam. Now, if you remember the story in the Old Testament, that's what they were referring to here. There was a king called Balak. He heard that children of Israel were coming. They were going to pass through his town. They were coming towards him. And he was scared because children of Israel, anywhere they get to, they occupy the place, they take over. So he was scared. So he went to hire a professional prophet called Balaam that come and curse these people for me. Curse them. Let them scatter. Let them die. Curse them for me. And Balaam actually tried. And Balaam went there. And the Bible said every time Balaam opened his mouth to curse the people, blessings came out. Hallelujah. And Balaam himself said, you cannot curse whom God has what? Blessed. I wonder why Christians say somebody cursed me. You don't know yourself. Bible says he will curse those that curse you. You can't curse me. You can only curse yourself. No such thing. Say, we are cursed in our village. Somebody planted cockroach. What are you talking about? Prophet said, the prophet they hired said, you cannot curse whom God has blessed. The Bible said they changed location, did different sacrifices, and every time they tried to curse, blessings came out. And Balaam told the guy, say, you cannot curse these people. He said, because they are blessed. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. But he said, however, I'll give you a secret. How to make people far from God, how to destroy people's destiny, how to cut off people's blessings. I'll give you a secret. He says, go and seduce them. Let them commit fornication. That's what they call the doctrine of Balaam. Since Balaam could not curse them, he gave the... And that's what Satan does. He can't fight you, so he seduces you. Seduces you into 419. Seduces you into doing business that you have to lie every day. And the more you lie every day, you will not be able to believe the truth of God's word. If you lie every day, you will start to lose confidence in God. If you lie every day, you will think everybody lies. That's one portion of lying. I meet people every day. I meet people every day that think pastoring is about money. You see, the Bible said they are without. See, those that are without, they can't see the things of the Spirit. In their eyes, this is just a business. But for people that are spiritually alive, they are seeing destinies being molded. For somebody just saying, yeah, pastor, no, I said, no, they make money. You are joking. Come now. Come and make money. You forbid to make money. Come make money. If it's that easy, what, come open, put now open in your garage. The hunger. You see, because a lot of those people, they are in their minds. You see, money is the baseline. Money is the baseline in their life. So they assume everybody thinks like that. Money is the reason they are living. One day I'm going to do what they call the lessons of life. One of the lessons of life is that you must quickly remove money as the baseline for the actions you are taking now. If money is the reason you are doing what you are doing, you are wasting your life. Because you didn't bring any money in here, you can't take any out. You are wasting your life if money is the baseline of what you are doing now. Quickly adjust and write something else as your life vision. It can't be money. Because the Bible says if you chase money will grow wings and they will fly. You can't have enough of it. Praise God. Isn't it amazing that we have people in government here trying to steal every day? Meanwhile, we have other people in other parts of the world that have sacrificed even what they had to help their own people. So we'll forever remember Mandela. We'll forever curse our own government people here. Every time we see traffic and we see drainages that are not well done, we see no lights. Here, NEPA is the gen, and gen is the NEPA. Meanwhile, somebody else sat down and invented the bulb. We'll never forget the guy. What's the guy's name? Thomas Edison. We'll never forget the guy. Meanwhile, somebody else to put the light on. You know if he put them on? NEPA. So you better quickly remove money. Because if you make money as the baseline of your life, you will just die for nothing and nobody remember you. In fact, if they remember it's for bad. And the money, you will still leave it here. That's not a shame. You suffered everybody for nothing. Just kept the money. You die. You now drink stout during your wedding. Your burial, sorry. Praise God. So the doctrine of he told Balak the king that if you want to curse these people, since we can't curse them spiritually, just seduce them. And Balak said, "What do I do?" He said, "Send your sexy women." And this is very important. What I'm going to say now is very important. And I thank God they're going to show this on TV. Very important. Send your sexy women amongst them. So you know what they did? They sent sexy women. Now, I don't know how to explain. So sexy women came. You know how sexy now? They do sexy. And they seduced the men. And the men started committing fornication. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 6 or 10, I can't remember. We read it in first service. The Bible said 22,000 or 32,000? 1 Corinthians 10, it's 23,000. 23,000 people died in one day. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, where will you keep 23,000 people that die in one day? Where, in this hall, I don't think we're even up to how many thousand. So imagine 23,000 people. Not that they died in 1 week. They died in one day. Because when they started indulging in fornication, judgment came on them immediately. He seduced them. And now this is the key point. Don't miss this part. Satan is still doing the same trick today. How? He will go and capture the fashion industry. He will go and capture the movies. He will capture the music. Then through those channels, he will be seducing people. Not just Christians, the whole world. So you will see in fashion, they will tell you what's raining now is low-cut jeans. Low waist. What's the whole essence? So that you can see my bum. When you see my bum, what will happen to you? You will start thinking of my bum. Because what you see enters you. And if you're thinking of bum, you'll soon want bum. It's not a mystery, it's simple. If you're spiritual, you can read the lines. If you're not, you just... To you, life looks like a coincidence. Listen, life is not a coincidence. This life right now is just a big game. It's like a chess game. This whole life you're seeing here. God is playing on one side, Satan is playing on the other side. All of us are like chess pieces. The difference is that these chess pieces also have their own free will. So sometimes when God is saying, stay on A4, move to D, the pawn is saying, I don't move. Now here I go die put. And true, he could die. So it's a big game. To you, just like we're all living life, no, it's a big game. It's the end point. It's when they pick you out. Where you're going is what matters. God is trying to make sure you fall into heaven. Satan is trying to make sure you fall into hell. And one day the game will be over. Everybody will check their pieces. How many do I have? That's what it's all about. So the devil knows if he can seduce you into sex, of course, you'll most likely fall out on his own end. And you die with him. Go to hell with him. He doesn't want, those of you that are bad in secondary school, you know, when we plenty for the yawa is sweet. Do you remember? If not you, then catch. You kind of look like they suffer you. So what did you, why did you do it? Say, I'm sorry, sir. Talk, why did you do it? Say, na devil. But if we plenty, sir, bad boys, we plenty. He's like, that's what Satan wants. He wants plenty people to be with him in hell. Because his own judgment has been decided. Yours haven't. Or hasn't. Satan's own is settled. On the last day, he has no other option. He will go to hell. But you see, your own hasn't been decided. So you have a chance now, a choice to decide. But he's trying to sell to you or convince you that come to my own side. Nothing happened for that heaven. Now. Hell, now in the bubble. There will be free smoke. Because he's burning them with free smoke. Free smoke. Of course, he's burning now. Hallelujah. You know when they sing the roof is on fire. This one, everything's on fire, not just the roof. Even us, we're on fire. Inside hell, that's how it should be. So it's a big game. So what does the devil do? He does the same thing to seduce people. So he uses the fashion industry. So if you notice, most of the clothes people make now, is they're just trying to show something. Originally, when clothes started, it was about covering your body. Today, clothes is about how many things you are showing. It's about uncovering your body. When people started fashion, it was about, hey, see what I'm wearing. Today, it's about see what I'm not wearing. So you see clothes today that people wear without underwear. That's the whole design. Short. And you know the sad thing? Some people also wear those things to church. You need to be careful if you're a Christian not to seduce your brethren in church. Don't allow the devil use you. Hallelujah. Don't allow the devil use you. To you, it is just a dress. To the devil, it's a game. He wants to win converts. So there have been brothers that have complained to me in church that they are trying to change their life. They left club and all these places. They came to church. Hallelujah. They came to church thinking, let me change. And I said, let's stand up and worship as the boy just stand up. The two ain't see. In church.
I know to you, to the mind that is not trained, he's saying, Pastor, it's just fashion. No. Anytime you're exposing parts of your body that shouldn't be exposed, you are seducing someone. Now, I understand, praise God. I understand some people have a problem in the sense that no matter what you wear, they will still be seduced. That one is the person has a problem. But I'm talking about people that are dressing. Yes, they put like that. Oh. If you like, wear cotton and cover your face, they will still be seduced. And you see, let me tell you how this thing starts. Once the devil can get you sexually seduced, that's also one of the points. I don't know if I should jump. Let me wait so that is the next point. Let me continue with this one I'm saying. So, you've also noticed the music. How many musical videos today? Those days when we're young, when you watch a musical video, everybody's wearing a suit like this now. Long, long ones. And they dance in no pass like this. Although Christians, our musical video is still like that. We just put flower. I beg, go on and develop, eh? I'm gonna come up small. But you see, but those days, that's how videos were. And the dancing would be dumber. You know, that's those days when we were young, the dancing we already was breakdance. Abi? No, this one is, what I'm doing is what? Backsliding. Abi? That backsliding no good though. Backsliding. If you notice, now listen, look at the steps. Backsliding, running man, wooden legs. Most of the steps were not seductive, and there were things you could dance even on your own without a partner. Check most of the dance today. My brother, have you been to a children's party recently? You see, to the untrained eye, it's just a children's party. To the devil, he's saying, see my children, shake the ball. He's already grooming, he's reaching out to them. From 2 years, 3 years, we were waiting for them to grow first. And their lives would have been almost spoiled before we start to reach them. I've been to some children party. I nearly prayed in tongues throughout. They wear all kinds of... You see, we're going to do a parents meeting. Some of you here, you're allowing your children train you. You're the one that ought to be training your children. You ought to be telling them what can be done and what can be done. You're allowing them tell you how things should be done. I've seen people that say, I can't leave my children on the ground. You must always carry them. Who told you? Your assignment as a parent is not to stop your child from crying. That's not your calling. I see parents like, he's crying. Let him cry! Let him cry. Part of crying is part of life. And Jesus wept. What are you talking about? Hallelujah. Praise God. So crying is a part of life. Your assignment is not to stop your child from crying. Your assignment is to bring them up in the way of the Lord. If they will need to cry to grow up in the way of the Lord, please let them cry. Let them cry. See many parents, too weak. So my child cannot wake up at 2 o'clock. No, he can. He can. He cannot, he must carry. No, he can't. Put him on the ground. Put him on the ground. Let him crawl. Let him walk. Let him do what other people are doing. Say, my child cannot stay in children's church. He can stay. His mates are there. He can stay. Thank you. He can stay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Very important. Very important. What was I saying before? Forgot what else. Okay, yeah. Okay, praise God. Remember. So if you go to some children's party now, even the dance they are dancing, and I'm serious, the dance they are dancing is very sexual in nature. The children are shaking their waist, shaking their butt. And some people are not surprised when adults are molesting those kids. And you're surprised because that's on that point. Because sexual immorality and sexual things releases those spirits. It releases sexual spirits. Every time you open your thighs, you're not just opening your legs, you're opening your spirit. It opens your spirit. Even the songs, check the musical videos. check the magazines, check the adverts. They are seducing the whole world. It's what the Bible calls the doctrine of Balaam. Seduce them. If you can't clearly tell them to sin, just seduce them. So a normal human being, you would have seen so many images of sex in a day that it will become difficult to resist temptation when it shows up. Because the world has been playing those images from when you wake up on the TV, they are showing you pop, 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 sex. You put on the internet, you are seeing sex, pop, pop, pop. You put the radio, they are playing sexual song, pop, pop, pop. You everywhere, and you will not walk on the road to walk. And you now see some girls dressed. Then even you go to church and some of them dressed like that. By the evening, by the time you see a woman, you're not even thinking again. Devil has worn out your resistance. So in case you are here, you see some clothes you are calling fashion is not fashion. Go and tear those skirts. Don't even dash them out. Tear them. Burn them. Those tops that you wear without underwear, go and throw them away. Those things you wear that expose your body, go and throw them away. I'm a Christian, I'm dressing like that. So when you see them dressed, the obvious thing just come out. It's to be covered, my friend. You got everything. What are you? Any man that likes you because you're exposing your body is what they call a whoremonger. That is lust, it's not love. Put all those things away. Let somebody like you for who you are. Cover it. Dress well. There are parts of your body that shouldn't show. Your breast is one of them. No part of it ought to be showing. No part of it. No part of it ought to be showing. Your bum too is one of them. No part of it should be showing. Praise God. Your thighs. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said, let everything be done decently and in order. The Bible said, let your moderation be shown to all. Everybody should be able to tell that you have moderation. Don't be excess in anything. You can be stylish without being looking like a slut. You can be stylish without being cheap. When I mean cheap, I don't mean the quality of your clothes. I mean cheap in your appearance. Some people, by the time they appear, they just, the Bible said that's what is called the attire of an harlot. Do you know one of the first things you can use to tell a harlot? It's their clothes. Can you show that scripture? The attire of a harlot. Please show it for me. The first sign of a harlot. Do you know this? And you know the funny thing about harlots? They don't even mistakenly wear suit. I've thought about it many times. When I read the Bible, I thought about it. I said, how come harlots don't even just deceive us sometimes? Just wear normal clothes. They never do it. They have a uniform. The Bible calls it the attire of an harlot. God has a way harlot to dress. Look at the Proverbs 7:10. He said, and behold, there met him a woman with what? The attire of a harlot. A subtle of heart. When you dress like that, there's something also wrong with your heart. Why don't you expose yourself? You're looking for attention. You don't need the attention of a man. What you need the attention of God. You don't want men. There's only one man you want. When I see women, I say, men are not chasing me. You don't need men to chase you. It's just one. And in due time, it will come. He that will come will not tarry. Hallelujah. Your king will come to you. That's what the Bible says. Say, none shall lack a mate. It's only one, not our mates. You don't need plenty. Relationships that are built on sex and things like that, they never last. Because lust is built on what you don't have. That your breast you pack up like this, the day he has it, he won't look at you again. Okay, let me try and. So, let's read some scriptures in Proverbs to see how, apart from the Bible, if you look at the history, politics, a lot of strong men have been shaken. Even as I was discussing, there are some cases like that on the news everywhere. Presidents have been shaken. Some presidents died on it. I don't know why you're shouting, no. I said, president, I've been shaking. You didn't shout. I said, president died on it. You shout. No, now then go arrest, though. I'm innocent. Strong men that even a whole army couldn't remove, one woman remove. Kingdoms have been shaken. Presidents of the greatest countries in the world have been brought down. So why are the mighty falling? Women can do that. Seduction can do it.
men that had incredible power. When I mean incredible power, I mean they could sneeze and the world would catch cold. A seductive woman can do that. Proverbs, are we? Let's read Proverbs 5. Wow. If I don't finish this thing today, I don't know what we're going to do. Wednesday, are we? No, you come Wednesday service. God catch you now. Wednesday. You must come for Wednesday. I don't know why. I mean, why won't you make... You see, some of you don't understand what the... Some of you, you are missing out on life itself. I'm planning to do a meeting for the men. It's called the balance of life. So if you don't, you're not enjoying life. Oh. You think you're enjoying life? You're not enjoying life. Oh. You better balance... It's when you balance out life that is enjoyable. Oh. If you just face one direction, you miss out on what life is really about. You've been going to work for the past how many years? You go to work 5 days a week. Some of you, 6 days a week. That's your life. You don't understand. There's no. You have a second run at it. You better squeeze in time for other important things. Like things that will build your knowledge about life itself. Because what we do in church, we read the manual of life. This is the manual of life, the Bible. It's the creator of life that gave us this book on how to live the life he gave us. For you not to be attending mediocre service, you're not very... something's wrong with your thinking. Something's wrong with your thinking. You better be attending. Make out time to attend. Desire and start working towards it. Wherever you work, people make services, mediocre services from all parts of town here. You're just enjoying one small part of life. Just go to work every day. Squeeze out time to get to know God more. And refresh your spirit. There are so many bad news we hear in the world. Traffic, economy is bad, no job. This one is that one, no water, no this. Come to church where you can be refreshed and strengthened in the things of God. Proverbs 5, are you there? Proverbs 5, I'll read from verse 9 to 11. Proverbs 5, 9 to 11. I'll probably have to finish this message on Wednesday. Because there's no way I can. I'm just on the first point since morning. Okay, 9. It says, lest thou give... Okay, for you to understand the story. Wow, it's a long story. Verse 3. Proverbs 5, verse 3. It said, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is what? Bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. He said, her feet go down to where? Death. I thought it's a big game. Her steps take hold on where? Hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. He said, her ways are movable, that thou cannot know them. She's too smart for you. The day you say, we won't do it again, that's the day she came and she was not wearing something. Everything just blinding you. Verse 7, hear me now therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. He said, remove thy way far from her, and come not near the door of her house. Lest thou do what? I can't hear you. Lest thou do what? Give thine honor to who? To others. Because you will lose your chance. And thy years unto where? The cruel. Look at what he said, verse 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are what? Consumed. Because that's what sexual activity, immoral one, will do. It destroys your body. Look at Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, 24. Oh, sorry, that's 7. Proverbs 6, 24. 6:24. We have to do this quickly. 6:24. It said, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. If you're a woman, you have to be reading it as a man. Alright? Keep it from the flattery of a man. Alright? Verse 25. Say, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to what? A piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for what? The precious life. The more precious your destiny is, the more of the opposite sex that will be chasing you. Some of you must have discovered that. She's like, up on again. Now that's why all men are toasting me. Yeah, your destiny is at stake. Satan doesn't want to lose you. The moment you start committing sin again and go back, you'll see that the men will go. He's trying to gain you. You are important in the game. Look at verse 27. He said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? He said, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? He said, so is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be what? Innocent. Chapter 7. Verse 24. I'll just read this, then we'll close from here. We'll continue in the midweek service. You have to attend midweek service. You have to do that. 7 verse 24. It says, Hearken unto me, therefore, children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. Say, for she had cast down what? Many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been what? Slain by her. Many. Like they put behind those trailers, many have gone. You see, her house is the way to where? To hell. Going down to the chambers of death. I'll read the last one, Proverbs 31. DJ, if you have Message Bible, please help me play it in Message Bible. I'll read King James first, then we'll read the message. So DJ, please help me get Message Bible, Proverbs 31 from verse 2 or so. But if you look at it from verse 1, say, these are the words of Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So it was a woman that was teaching this. Say, what, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Look at verse 3. He said, give not what? Thy strength unto what? Women. Because that's what happens when you sleep with somebody you're not married to. You are giving away your destiny. You are giving away your strength. He said, nor thy ways to that which what? Destroyeth kings. DJ, do you have it in Message translation? They don't have Message, DJ. You don't have Message. You're not a professional DJ. He said, Oh, son of mine, what can you be thinking of? Say, oh, son of mine, what can you be thinking of? Child whom I bore, the son I dedicated to God. He said, don't dissipate your virility on fortune-hunting women. Promiscuous women who shipwreck leaders. Mm-hmm. So many destinies crash. They are fortune hunting. They want to destroy your destiny. You will not be destroyed in the name of Jesus. So sexual immorality destroys destiny. Having sex with someone you are not married to. Not that we are planning to marry, it's still a sin. Any sexual activity with someone you're not married to is a sin. Praise God. I'll close by saying this because there's no time. Abi, how much time do I have, DJ? I should be closing. Okay. We'll continue the midweek service. Attend the midweek service. I'll have to finish it there. But let me close with this. There are many young people here that are saying, Pastor, how can we stay away from sin? I'm going to deal with that majorly in the next Sunday, overcoming sexual temptation. But let me say this here. There are people that think, oh, Pastor, all of us are in sin. All the young men are committing sin. It's a lie. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read that. There are many young people that are keeping themselves. Don't assume that every young person you are seeing in church is sleeping around during the week. No. There are many good Christians. There are many people that have God has helped them to keep their bodies. That have lived sex free. As a pastor, and like I said in the first service, I've been in the game for about 15 years. I've been pastoring for about 15 years. I've wedded more virgins than non-virgins. So in case you are thinking, oh, the Christians are coming is a lie. There are people that have kept themselves. There are people that are doing it the right way. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, we are planning to marry now. It's normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. Let me tell your neighbor, say, it's not normal. Tell him, don't let the devil cheat you. You're afraid? Tell him. I'm not saying tell him. Tell him, don't let the devil cheat you. Don't be afraid. Can't do anything. I'm here. It's not normal. Say, it's normal. Everybody's doing it. It's a lie. Everybody's not doing it. It's a lie of the devil. He wants to rope you in. There's other things we'll share during the midweek service, but I'll be there. Because there are a lot of points here. I could even, this is just not point one. There's only one point I shared now. A lot of other things you need to know about sex. What are we reading? 1 Thessalonians, Abby. Chapter 4. A lot of young people are keeping themselves. A lot of people have made it through sex free.
Saying, Pastor, but if I don't test drive, how will I know what that is?
God expects you to grow with your wife or your husband in knowledge. All this quick test drive you want to do before the time, you are finishing the honey before the honeymoon. Many people have reached their honeymoon, no honey. They don't chop and finish. They don't chop and finish. Finish, totally. Listen carefully, because that's what the devil tell you. If you don't test drive, how do we know we're sexually compatible? How do I know we enjoy it? That's the whole idea. You are supposed to spend the whole of your life learning about each other, growing in understanding of each other's bodies. That is supposed to be a lifetime project. But many people, they have tested compatibility and tested other things before the marriage. By the time the marriage comes, do now, they are tired. You have your whole, you don't understand. After some years in marriage, sex now becomes an assignment. It now becomes a job. You tell your friend, go work. It's work. So, the earlier you save your strength, the better for you. All this, let's just do it first. By the time you enter marriage, first year, second year, you have 10 years, you are still on it. By that time, you see, if you had kept yourself by 10 years, you will still be developing new styles. If you have been doing before, by 3 years, self, you don't finish everything, you know. So I don't tire. What do you want to do again? What do you want to do? So you discover Satan penetrates a lot of marriages early. By 2 years, 3 years, the fun and excitement has already gone. So they are both tired by 3 years in the marriage. So before you know it, the devil starts talking to one of them about looking outside. God, the time they should have used to grow, they've already practiced. Marriage, especially sex in marriage, is a long distance race. Not something you rush. You have your whole life. You don't understand what that means. 30 years, you are still sleeping with the same woman. You better save those styles you are thinking. Save it. You will need it on the journey. You will need it. All those new styles you are developing, keep it. You will need it. If you start now, you will finish it before time. You'd have leaked the honey before the honeymoon. If you've ever been in a long distance race, Mr. Fitness, a long distance race, you know at the beginning, everybody, you don't know who is strong, who is who. Everybody, they do warm up. Warm up, everybody, you see them. Athletes warming up because see their different style spikes, different kind of shoes. You say, oh boy, this guy is a bad guy. Everybody looks good. On your marks, set, go. By the first lap, by the first time, you can't even tell who is who. You can't know who the champion is. You got everybody there together. By the second lap, some people don't divide. By the third lap, some people don't sleep. And that's how marriage is a long distance rate. 20 years, you are still having sex with the same person. It's work. By that time, it's work. So why are you rushing? I mean, what on earth do you have to gain by rushing? Say, but the thing is panting, is piling. Let it pile because you will need it for the race. When they blow the whistle, you will need it. You will need it. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, furthermore then, I beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Lord Jesus, that as ye received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should do what? Abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know or learn how to possess his what? His vessel. That's his body. In sanctification and in honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which what? Which know not God. You can't be like them. For them, they just see it as any act. They say, but you know God, you should know better. For them, they just look at it, it's cheap, it's free. Nothing happens, just a physical act. Just drop and clean mouth. No. The Bible tells us that sex is a spiritual act. So you can learn how to hold your body. You can learn how to hold your vessel in sanctification and in honor. You can be among that generation that will say no to the tricks of the devil. You can be among that generation that will say we will live a holy life. We will not be contaminated or corrupted by this dark world. You will be among those that will say I will be a light to this world. You will be among those that will say I'll be a salt to the earth. Hallelujah.
It's not everybody that is doing. There are many Christians. There are many godly Christians that are keeping their bodies. There's hope for you. You can join that army today. Hallelujah. Don't say it's all married men that are cheating. Nah. There are many dogs amongst us, we know. But there are also a lot of people that are keeping themselves. It's not too late for you. Don't let the devil condemn you that you've done too much. You can't come back. That's what condemnation seeks to do. God won't condemn you. He's saying you can come back today. And no matter how many times you miss it, keep coming back. Because you must be here when the whistle blows. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet.